We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Little airish this morning. I think I had, when I left the house this morning, there about 8 o'clock, it was 28 degrees, I think, and had a pretty good frost on the windshield, so it got down pretty good. I know they got colder up north. It just actually got above freezing up in the northwest here about an hour ago, according to the Mezzanet. Here's some temperatures around our listening area. 38 degrees at Slap Out, 39 at the May Ranch, 38 at Sealing, 38 at Cheyenne, the home of the secret weapon. 40 degrees at Eric, 40 degrees at Hollis, 42 at Mangum. Out here in the Panhandle, what do we got looking at us? Lipscomb, 40. Miami, 38. Dozier, 41. Wellington, 40. And south of the river there, south of Altus, 41 degrees at Odell. Today is Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour all hour long. I'll have more about them coming up here shortly. They had a big fall gathering last week at Leedy, and they got one coming up this week, and I'll share that with you here shortly, see what's going on. Nothing exciting, not much exciting over the weekend. We finished up some peanut fields and like a little bit baling, and I think there's some other guys still got some peanuts out there, but overall I'd say we're 70-75% done with peanut harvest, cotton harvest. I don't think a lot was going on with it because of all the moisture, but I got the National Cotton Council's report coming up for you later on the show. And then coming up in the third segment, you guys remember me talking about that auction with all those tractors in it last Friday. The sale was Saturday in Kentucky. I don't know where these people are getting their money, and it's crazy, but I'm going to go over some of the pricing. What really caught my eye was the $49.60 and the $44.55. Unbelievable. So you're going to have to tune in with me on the third segment to figure out how much those big boys brought. So we'll figure that out. Let's see what happened overnight in our ag world. Wheat futures were lower overnight in trading as supplies continue to move out of the Ukraine through the Black Sea. Grain and other ag products are being shipped through the so-called humanitarian corridor through the waterway, the most effective route to ship goods from the war-torn country. Four ships left the Ukrainian ports on the Black Sea on Friday, headed for Turkey, Ukraine Interior Minister said in a tweet. The ships were carrying about 130,000 metric tons of grain and 10,000 tons of metal to countries in Africa, Asia, Europe. He said 11 civilian vessels were in the ports at Odessa to load about 225,000 tons of ag and metal products. 62 vessels have used that corridor, with 37 of those moving about 1.3 million metric tons of cargo through the Black Sea. Wheat futures for December delivery overnight fell 5¾ cents to 569¾ cents a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade, and overnight Kansas City futures dropped 6¾ cents to $6.36¼ a bushel. Corn for December delivery declined 0.75 cents overnight to 480 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery rose 3¾ cents to 13¾ cents a bushel. Soy meal was down $4.40 to $4.38 even a short ton, and soy oil gained 0.36 cents to 52.63 cents a pound. Investors turned bullish on beans while reducing their net short positions or bet on lower prices in corn last week, according to the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Investors in the 7 days that ended on October 24th held a net long position or bets on higher prices of 6,817 future contracts in soybeans. That's a shift from a net short position of 3,400 contracts the week earlier and the largest bullish position since the week that ended on September the 26th. Money managers reduced their net shorts in corn to 99,522 contracts last week. That's down from 105,000 a week earlier. That's the smallest bearish position since September 5th. In wheat, investors held a net short position on 29,319 hard red winter contracts, up modestly from 27,000 contracts a week earlier. Hedge funds and other large investment firms were net short on soft red winter wheat by 97,000 futures contract last week, and that's down from 110,000 the week before that. That's the smallest bearish position for soft red winter wheat since September 12th. Freeze warnings have been issued for parts of more than a dozen states, stretching from New Mexico north into Wisconsin and east into Pennsylvania, according to the National Weather Service maps. In eastern Kansas and western Missouri, temperatures overnight fell as low as 29 degrees Fahrenheit overnight. Will fall much further tonight into Tuesday, according to the National Weather Service. Temperatures will drop 22 degrees tonight, the agency said. The freeze warning in that area will start about 9 o'clock and last through about 10 a.m. tomorrow. In northern Illinois and Ohio, meanwhile, temperatures tonight into Tuesday will fall as low as 25 degrees, so it's pretty chilly out there. Anyway, it was opening week of muzzleloading season. Text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. If you guys got a good one or you heard any reports on anybody, please feel free to share them with me on the text line. And then what county and whatever information you want to put down there. You don't have to put your name down, but if you want to share what county you got it in or a picture of it, be great. I hadn't heard any new state records, but I'm sure they're out there. And then what else going on over the weekend? Hey, we got a nice rainfall there Saturday evening and Saturday afternoon evening and into yesterday morning. I got an extra 3/10. I know some of my neighbors down south of the river got 6/10. I don't know the most I've heard over the weekend, but anyway, that's getting pretty. So that gives me a total of almost 3 inches there at the house for the last week or 10 days, which is good. And I did. My rye that I planted in the bottom below my house is well up. You can windrow it, and it looks great. And the field above the tree line where I planted the, basically the same day is not up. There's not one stalk of rye up, and them little wireworms, they call them, got them. That's all I can tell you. I've never seen anything like it. So anyway, there's treatment for it, but there's no use doing it now, according to some of the pesticide experts. No use doing anything with them now because it's cold, the ground's got cold, and they should be done and on move it. But that's 15 acres. There's not nothing up. I mean, they cleaned it out. And I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday that I haven't Googled it to make sure to verify he's not doing something funny with me, but he said that, you know, he researched it after I showed him that video, that there's a you go out there and make a hole. This is like for a garden. Go out there and make a hole ever so often, big enough to put a carrot in it, stick a carrot down in it, a full-grown carrot in it. And the next day you come out, you should be able to pull it out, and you'll have all those wireworms on it. Well, I hadn't tried that yet, so I'm going to be gullible and try it for him. So we'll see what happens. So anyway, let's go ahead and take our first Oklahoma Cattlemen Association break, the OCA break. And when I come back, I'll have to get you an update on the current grain markets, the live and the feeders on the cattle. And we'll talk about what happened in Oklahoma and in Texas last week at all the auction barns. So we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We're open on Saturdays from 9 to noon, full service lobby. We have new accounts there, personal bankers. We have loan guys there. We have tellers. You can do anything you need to do on a Saturday in the lobby. It helps a lot of people who are out of town that need to come do banking business, or people that work Monday through Friday and can't get in with our hours. They can come on a Saturday. That's one of the things that makes us different. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
One last time for the home team. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 20th. 2008 head were sold. 12 head of steers at 458 brought 304. 4 at 470 brought 268. 7 at 530 brought 274. 12 at 561 brought 240. 11 at 606 brought 262. 6 at 859 brought 234. 8 at 989 brought 189. 9 head of heifers at 472 brought 236. 5 at 507 brought 216. 11 at 515 brought 220. 3 at 557 brought 238. 6 at 597 brought 228. 12 at 688 brought 215. 17 at 702 brought 204. Butcher cows were 11 to 117. Butcher bulls brought 80 to 125. Bred cows were 1,000 to 1925. Pairs brought 1950 to 2375. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's 580-497-6095.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom backs, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Currently here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center, it's 38 degrees. Humidity's at 50. Not much else going on there. McLean, Texas, 38 degrees. Wind chill's 33. Humidity's 38. Dew point's 15. The wind is out of the northwest at 6 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today, 31 miles an hour. 0.79, 79 one-hundredths of an inch of rain so far. Month-to-date precipitation. And red flag minutes, zero. Sub-freezing minutes today. Hey, finally, I get to read one. 612 minutes of sub-freezing minutes today in McLean, Texas. 8-inch soil temperature. Man, she cooled off in a hurry. 56 degrees. All right. Let's see what's happening with the current markets. December corn, 478, down a little over 2 cents. 492 for March, down 3. Soybeans, November, down 13 at 1284. January's down 11 at 1308. Man, soybean meal is taking a beating today. December soybean meal, $427.10 a short ton, down $15.30. January, $4.14, down $12.70. Soybean oil for December is actually up almost a half a penny at $52.72. December's about the same at $51.95. Hard red winter wheat up 2 cents for December, $6.45. March is $6.57, up a little over a penny, and May is $6.64. All right, let's see what cotton's doing. It was in the green earlier, not now. December cotton, 83.16, down looks like 1.2 cents. March is 85.10, down one. May is 85.99. Mr. Sugar Daddy over Dale High, he's still doing all right. Sugar's still over 20, about 26 and three quarter cents a pound. What's oil doing? December crude oil out of West Texas, 82.52. January's 81.84. Natural gas is at 334 for December. January's 358. And S&P, the Dow, and the NASDAQ all in the green right now. Looks like cattle aren't doing too bad today, whether live or feeders. Live cattle for October, 183.20. December, 183.07. February, 183.87. April, 185.72. Feeder cattle for November, 237.85, up almost a dollar, 95 cents to be exact. January is 236.65, March is 239.22, and April is 243 even, up 35. Okay, coming up this Saturday at the Hobart Stockyards in Hobart, Oklahoma, capital of Kiowa County, they'll be having their sheep and goat sale. Gain questions on that, give Mr. Rex Fleming a call there. Also, this Wednesday, next Wednesday at the Hobart Stockyards, they're going to be selling 250 weaned calves weighing 350 to 550, weaned 30 to 60 days on November 8th, Wednesday, week from this coming Wednesday at 11 a.m. per Rex Fleming. How about that? Okay, let's see what was happening last week at the auctions before we go to break. Let's start with Texas. And then we got 4,939 head went through the sale barn last week compared to almost 8,300 the week before. Compared to last week, steer and heifer calves sold $5 to $10 lower, especially if unweaned. Yearlings were not well tested this week after early drops in the feeder cattle index. Trade activity and demand were light to moderate. Slaughter cows and bulls were steady to $2 lower. Supply included 82% feeder cattle, 14% slaughter cattle, and 4% replacement cattle. So there's about 1.5% more replacement cattle that sold last week in Texas. So that's a little bit of a sign, not much. Get excited here. So some 3 to 4 weight winged ones brought 350. So on the 4 weights, let's see here, we got some 4 to 5 weights. Unwinged ones bringing up to 314. Some 5 to 6 weights were bringing up to 297. And some 6 to 7 weights were bringing up to 263. And some 7 to 8 weights were bringing up to 244. And looks like 8 weights were bringing somewhere around 223 to 230 top end on steers. And on heifers, they had some 3 to 4 weights wing brought 267. Some 4 to 5 weights were bringing up to 256 winged. The unwings were taking a pretty good hit last week because they knew this weather was coming in, but 5 to 6 weights up to 210, and 6 to 7 weights up to 204, and 7 to 8 weights up to 216, and they had some 9 weights brought $1.72, and that was down south and out west. All right, let's see what happened in Oklahoma. Total receipts in the sale barns last week, 22,421 head compared to 29,239 the week before, and 20 almost like just a few more being 29,000 even a year ago. Compared to last week, feeder steers in Oklahoma were $7 to $12 lower, feeder heifers $8 to $15 lower, steer calves under 500 pounds steady to $5 higher. Over 500 pounds, $4 to $10 lower. Heifer calves, $10 to $20 lower. Tough week in the markets last week. The COF report showed higher than expected placements. Demand moderate at best, but quality plain to average at most barns. Rain and cooler wind, cooler temperatures moving through this week, thus limiting demand for unwinged calves. Yeah, I think I said that earlier. How about that? Slaughter cows sold a buck to $4 lower. Last decline on thinner, least decline on thinner fleshed cows. Slaughter bulls were $3 to $4 lower. Packer demand was moderate. Oklahoma's supply demand was 86% feeder cattle, 12% slaughter cattle, and 2% replacement cattle. Here's some 300-pounders went through the sale barn with value added. Weighed 316, brought 374. And fancy, value added on some other 356-pounders brought 392. And then with some value added on some 400-pounders brought 312. And value added on some 460-pounders brought 319. And then we get in some five weights. The unwinged ones were bringing 235, 250, 397. It was the top end on unwinged 500-pounders. But some value added on some 506-pounders brought 304. What else we got? That's about it. Another major on the steers. On heifers, where are we at? There they are. 3 to 4 weights, we're bringing up to 349, and that was with ones value added. Unwinged ones were bringing 258, was the top end on those. And we had some fancy 419s, brought 269, and some value added on some 465s, brought 243. And what else we got here? 600 pounders, unwinged, brought 210. Some winged ones brought 224. 729-pound replacements brought 253, and some unwinged ones brought $1.98. Some 900-pound heifers brought 208, and some other heifers was bringing $1.89. So that's pretty much what was going on in the big state in Oklahoma over the weekend. So we'll see how that all goes. All right, come back after this Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. I'll have you update on the OCA, and then we'll have some northwestern Oklahoma weather, and then we'll get on with the cotton report and talk about some off-the-wall crazy prices on some tractors. Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that NAPA replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City NAPA store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. NAPA Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Blair Tire and Feed is hitting the pause button so they can renovate. Blair Tire and Feed will be closed from October 27th through November 5th. Then they'll reopen Monday, November 6th, and they'll be better than ever. But even during renovations, they'll still answer the phone and service trucks will still run. So if you've got a tire that needs fixed, just call 580-563-2692. 563-2692. Blair Tire and Feed is shutting down for renovations October 27th through November 5th. Then reopen November 6th. Thanks for your patience. They'll see you soon.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Freedom, Oklahoma, here is your ag weather for today. 40 degrees right now, feels like 34. Dew point's 23. Humidity's 51. The winds are out of the west, northwest at 7 miles an hour. So far in the last 10 days, you've got 47 one-hundredths of an inch of rain. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 53 degrees. Sunset at 6:43 tonight, 47 for a high today. Tonight, 26. Tomorrow, 46. So, anyway, just a little cool. Supposed to warm up the rest of the week. Okay, let's see what's happening with the cotton rip. See what's going on with the National Cotton Council. Yes, everybody knows that Representative Mike Johnson of Louisiana is the chamber's next speaker, ending 22 days of uncertainty. It's about time. They were looking like fools as far as I was concerned. Johnson represents a cotton belt district in northwestern Louisiana that produces almost 40,000 bales in 2021. He has stated that he intends for the House to pass the farm bill by December or in December. So anyway, we'll see what happens. I've heard 2025, so he's pretty optimistic if he thinks it's going to get done in the next 30, 60 days. And I hope it does, because it's just, and I hope it's a good one, and see, not total chaotic crap. The USDA released a report assessing the degree in which carbon markets may be a useful tool for eliminating greenhouse gas emissions in the ag sector. I think they need to worry about a lot more things than that. The report found that while an overwhelming majority of producers are aware of carbon markets, participation so far has been limited due to high upfront transition costs, compliance requirements, and confusion about the program options. Imagine that. The report expresses optimism that the USDA will be able to increase participation by providing better technical assistance and working with third-party verifiers, among other requirements. How about that? Not much else going on. A couple things here, though. You go into the 2024 Beltwide Cotton Conference in Fort Worth. Need to get registered up. It's easy to do. www.cotton.org/Beltwide/registration. Easy to find. Anyway, that's going on. You go to Fort Worth. When is that? January 3rd through the 5th. You ain't doing nothing. Just get her up. I don't know. Some people might not be have their cotton done. Also, heads up, beginning November 1st, which is coming up, employers must use the revised form I-9 employment eligibility verification with the addition dated 8/01/23 when completing the employment eligibility verification process. How about that? Okay, export sales for the week ending on October 19th was 206,200 bales. This brings totals of the 23-24 sales to about 6.4 million. Total sales at the same point last year was 8.8, so about 25% or more behind. Total new crop for 24-25 is already setting at a little less than a half a million bales at 426,600 bales. Shipments for the week were 105,500 bales, a marketing year low, bringing total exports to 1.9 million bales compared to 2.6 million bales at a comparable point in the 22-23 marketing year. There's your cotton update. All right, you guys ready to go to get ready to talk tractors? So last Friday I was telling you about this Taylor Auction Company out of, I think, where are they out of? Winchester, Kentucky. How could I forget that? Probably where Daniel Boone was born. But anyway, they had 26 or 27 tractors on there. Let's just go through a few of them. That International 240, it's a slick looking tractor, but it only brought $1,648. And then this John Deere 4455. Oh my word, what the heck's going on here? Anyway, it brought $97,850. It was a low hour tractor, don't get me wrong. 3549 hours on it. They're slick. You can tell all these tractors have been taken care of, but $97,850. And then there was a John Deere with a front end loader, 6430, brought 103,000 to be exact, more or less. And then a John Deere 6320 with 915 hours, brought 75,000 with front wheel assist. And then they had an open cab 2755, brought $30,000. Think about that one. And then they had a John Deere 6230. Brought 57,680. John Deere 6400 with a front end loader, 82,000. John Deere 2955, not front wheel assist, 29,640 bucks. And then here, this is the one that's got me thinking. 1993 John Deere 4960 brought 139,360. So that's the tractor I got. Yes, I got a few more hours on it than this 3637 does, but, or that's how many hours it has on it, but got me to think I might be doing some body work, clean it up, change the oil, sell, and mine's got a front end loader on it. And only problem with all this wishing is you got to replace them. That's the bad deal. But think about that. This tractor, I don't know, somebody texts in to me. I don't remember what they brought. There's back in the 90s when they come out with the 60 series 4960. What's a brand new 1993 John Deere? I know Larry the tractor guy's out there listening from Hobart or somebody is. Wonder what a 1993 John Deere 4960 actually sold for brand new, because this in here is what, 30 years old? $140,000. And then let's see, let's look through here, see if anything else catches my attention. 6150M John Deere had 763 hours on it, but no front end loader. And how many horsepower is that? Doesn't say right quick. And yep, feel ready. It's got the quad transmission, 155,000. And then a 7220 brought 105,000, a 4055. Now look at this, John Deere 4055. With 3,143 hours on it, brought $82,400. Yeah, get some of that. And then a John Deere 6105M with front end loader on it, brought $112,000. And just see here, International Super M brought almost $3,000. And that was about it. Crazy. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. All right, let's talk about the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association is member-led, member-driven organization that provides legislative representation to protect things like your farm sales tax exemption, water rights, property rights, up to $10,000 theft reward program to assist in gathering information if you experience livestock theft. In-person and virtual producer education, beef direct sales list that connects consumers with OCA members, marketing beef, monthly issues of the Cowman magazine and weekly email updates and issues videos. For just $100 a year, you can experience all these member benefits and so much more. For less than $2 a week or a little over $8 a month, to have an association that's working full-time to represent you and to help protect your way of life. www.okcattleman.org or just call Lori at 580-273-5137. Let's go ahead and take a OCA break. I'm running a little early, but I need to really sneeze and blow my nose, so we're going to be back right after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
When they call you, they want you to answer the phone. And whether it's Sunday, Saturday, or Monday, they also want customer service. Do what you say you're going to do. I mean, because when they're in a bind, they're in a bind. You want that company to think of you first. Oh, we need this. Well, call Brock. You call me. We'll get it taken care of. You needed a hose like yesterday. We will stop what we're doing. And if we got to go to our Oklahoma City shop and get it, we'll do that. And I've done that for a lot of my customers. If they call me, they're expecting me to get whatever task done. To a farmer, tractor, combine, gets them up and running. He's back in the field, makes some money. Guy in the oil field, their piece of equipment's running again. That makes some money. Solves that problem. I'm Brock Kalk, and my company is American Hose and Supply. Come by and see us at 2111 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma, in Camrock Building next to Fred's, or call me at 580-821-4413. 821-4413.
You worked, and you sweat, and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it, and it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you, and God bless you.
SEI Agritech excited to announce construction is beginning at the SEI Agritech Center in Elk City for their new product line. They'll be blending LNC feed with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. This will be the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City will be opening their new facility in the near future at their current location at 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, you can give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Yeah, I did see them doing some concrete work down there last week. That's going to be pretty cool at SEI Agritech. You can actually get your LNC blended there, so that's going to be pretty cool. We'll have probably next week, Ken will be in, and maybe he can talk about his new blending secrets. Anyway, let's do your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Or not. Here we go again. My brain's dead today. It's Monday. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update. How about that? Eric, Oklahoma. I hadn't done you in a few weeks. Right now it's 41. Feels like 36. Dew points at 20 degrees. Humidity's at 42. The winds are out of the north, northeast at 8 miles an hour. No rainfall in the last 24 hours, but the last 10 days, 1.46 inches of rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 53 degrees. Fractional water, 1-day average 10-inch, 0.1. Tonight, the sun will be setting at 6:48. So what's that, 12? So 7:18. I better not hear any more muzzleloader shoots. So shooting's going on. So there you go. I'm just trying to keep you honest because you know Lieutenant James out there sneaking around somewhere. Anyway, sunny, high 48 today. Clear, 24 for low tonight. West winds also tonight at not very much, up to 7 miles an hour. Tomorrow, 51 degrees. Northwest winds switching to the northeast, 8 to 16 miles an hour. So starting to warm right back up, but I think tomorrow evening is supposed to be pretty chilly. Skies are clear. The moon's out. The deer getting in the pre-rut. We'll see what happens. Hey, I went out to Atwoods yesterday to get my pup, Beth, the new pup, the Griff, a bed. And I noticed something in there. And then I got in here and looked in here in the Atwoods ad in the Penny News. You guys need to go check it out. 20% off on Twisted X casual shoes. And so that's a good price. So anyway, I just wanted to let you guys know that that's out there. I looked at them. They got a big selection. And they got all kinds of other good deals going on out there. So go check it out. And I say 15% on my doggy bed. So anyway, and she wouldn't even get out of it this morning. So I knew she's 8 months old. She's getting close to 8 months old, 52 pounds. She's a big old mutt, but she's a sweetheart. So she has a few issues, but that's all right. Most dogs at that age do have issues. Also, before I get into more ag news, I want to talk about today and tomorrow will be the last day that we are celebrating a salute to American farmers. Farmers, thank you for continuing to measure your time, not in hours, but acres, for running through the night to finish harvesting in a field before the rain comes, and for working through extreme temperatures and weather conditions to check on and care for livestock. Thank you for all the hats you wear on a daily basis to keep your farm moving forward. These people here helped us bring this a salute to American farmers this month, and we dearly appreciate them. Harrison Cattle Company, Leslie and Jan out of Arapahoe, Walter Cattle Company, Angus Simtall, Red Angus out here out of Elk City, Kyle, Ag Defense Risk Management out of Elgin, thank you very much, Elk City and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Thank you, Mr. Hickey, and your family for supporting a salute to American farmers. The Farmers Union Co-op here in Elk City and the Misty Goosen Agency. I'm pretty sure that's Goosen Agency. I just heard that commercial yesterday. Sorry, Misty. It's me. You got to do it. Out of Clinton. And Everett's Welding out of Visalia, Oklahoma. They got everything you want up there. And last but not least, the Western Planters Cotton Gin out of Hobart, Oklahoma. So there you have it. Okay, let's see what's happening with the... Anyway, here, I got an article, a bearish tone to cattle on feed report. The USDA cattle on feed report released on October 20, 20th contained numbers that caught the market somewhat by surprise. Cattle placed in feedlots were higher than anticipated and outside the range of estimates. In addition, the number of cattle marketed in September was lighter than expected. The response to the report was negative, with prices leaving a gap on Friday and trading sharply lower this morning. Speculative selling and producing establishing hedges were likely players on a day that saw live cattle futures down well over $6 per hundredweight. Prices have been well supported prior to the report due to the tight supplies on market, ready animals, and steady demand. The question is now whether the numbers have a real impact or if this is just a one-time report reflecting farmers adding cattle to feedlots prior to harvest. It's likely that it is a one-time negative report. You remember Brandon Hickey was on here last Tuesday and he was talking about somebody leaked the report because the report wasn't supposed to come out till Friday, and the numbers got out on Thursday, and his personal view on the thing was somebody's playing the market. There are three primary elements in the cattle on feed report that summarize the overall view of cattle supplies: placements, marketing, and cattle on feed. Placements are the number of cattle placed in the feedlot from the previous month, in this case September. Cattle marketed are the number of cattle that were marketed, and cattle on feed is the count of the overall number of cattle that are in the feedlots with capacities of 1,000 head or more. The report is released each month with figures relative to pre-report estimates as well as actual figures from a year ago. One that jumped out in October's report is placements during September at 106% above the pre-report average estimate of 101% and above the highest pre-report estimate of 104.8%. The pre-report estimates are derived from surveys of analysts. Actual reports over the last several years indicate a declining cattle herd, which has led to higher prices. So why would the September numbers be negative? One theory is why placement numbers were so high is farmers moved cattle into the feedlots anticipating that there were not be time to do during the harvest season. This makes some sense, but from what I've seen on the harvest reports, there's a lot of people wrapping them up, so I don't know. Anyway, we'll see what makes sense of that. Let's see, where was I? This makes sense. There we go. Keep in mind that hot and dry conditions in the northern plains late into August and early September may have also prompted moving cattle into feedlots. Now, I can see that. Corn prices have reached their yearly lows by September 19th. Therefore, the cost of feed for feedlots were cheaper in September than any time over the last 2 years. The marketing number was light at 89%, reflecting either the fact that cattle didn't gain weight well into the heat of the late August and early September, or more supplies will be headed to the market in October. This might also explain why feeder cattle placed in feedlots were smaller than typical. How about that? The on feed on 101% reflected a slightly higher number of cattle in the feedlots, yet a 1% deviation is not big enough number to be concerning. Why is this so important? Recently, December live cattle futures reached their contract high of $192 on September 15th. As of this writing, they reached a low of $177.30, nearly a $15 drop. Prices are still high from a historical perspective, yet the unraveling of a bull market may be at hand. Defending high prices can be a challenge. What can you do? A strategy to set a floor and leave upside price potential unlimited is to purchase put options. I don't know about that, but puts provide the owner the right, not the obligation, to sell futures. History suggests that when bull markets end, it can be violent. What may take so many months for prices to advance can be lost in just a few weeks. The cattle on feed report may have added negative fuel to a trend that may have already begun developing puts in the front of the USDA market reports makes sense, as reports can sometimes be surprising. So, yeah, I think something was going on there last week or week before when they put that report out on the 20th, because it wasn't supposed to come out till Friday. And guess what? Anyway, farmers in the states, in these states, experienced a really dry start in the growing season, but abundant precipitation in July and August helped alleviate drought conditions, resulting in above average yields. How about that? Farmers in Tennessee and Indiana experienced a dry start, but anyway, Mark Spradlin, a corn and soybean farmer from Madison, Henderson, and Chester counties of Tennessee, said his corn crop this year has the best yields he's ever seen since he started farming in 1987. His corn crop's yields averages 206 bushels per acre. He said his soybeans so far are averaging yields are in the low 60s. Things didn't start off well for him after his crops were planted. He says the rain cut off as soon as his corn was in the ground. We were close to losing the corn crop, as you could have been. He adds he's surprised how long his corn crop held on despite the dry conditions early in the season. And at the end of June, Spradlin said the corn was curling to preserve energy and moisture until the rain fell. About 7 to 10 inches of rain fell in July, turned Spradlin's concerns around, helping him harvest the best crop, corn crop he's ever had. Unfortunately, though, Spradlin says drought conditions have returned to Tennessee and it hasn't rained hardly in weeks. As a result, Spradlin says the cover crops that he's planted are in need of rain to germinate. The latest drought monitor shows that 9% of Tennessee is in a D3 extreme drought, 36% of the state is in a D2 severe drought, and 37% is in a D1. So there you go. In Indiana, Larry Wilkerson, a corn and soybean farmer from Kimmel, how's that? Indiana says that he was pleasantly surprised by soybean yields this year after a dry year. His soybeans, which averaged 54 bushels per acre across the farm, were surprising because of scouting his reports. He said he saw only 2 soybeans seeds per pod. While drought did play a role in limiting yield potential, Wilkerson said that the Canadian wildfires also impacted his soybean crop's ability to photosynthesize due to the lack of sunlight. He says smoke from the fires prevented his soybean from getting the sunshine they needed. When it comes to his corn crop, Wilkerson said that they just started harvest at the end of October, but yields are good so far. Right now, he says his corn yields are around 215 bushels per acre, which is close to average for his farm. One challenge that the farmers in northeast Indiana have recently is rainfall during harvest. Wilkerson said although he's finished harvesting his soybeans, he said there are still soybeans left to harvest in his neighbor's field. Wilkerson made the decision to harvest his soybeans while they were a little wet, a decision he was happy to have made. Wilkerson said the ground has been dry enough that the rain isn't affecting their ability to harvest the corn. Overall, Mr. Wilkerson says he's blessed to have good, heavy soil that retains moisture, as well as to have a good crop this year. While farmers in northern part of the state are experiencing minimal drought conditions, the southern part of Indiana is in a D1 moderate drought. So not too shabby, but anyway, there's some good stories from some people outside of Oklahoma, Kentucky, and Indiana to be true for. All right, you know, it's yesterday's first hay I put out all year. As producers prepare for winter weather and take stock of their hay supplies, it's important to consider hay feeding management. It's a reality that hay feeding reduces the efficiency of beef cow entities. In fact, Daryl Peel has noticed the feeding hay costs 2.5 to 5 times more than grazing costs, that is. It would be easy to say that all the cows should graze pastures and no hay should be fed. However, round bales offer convenience and can help maintain nutrition and improve animal welfare. Some examples of these situations with weather. Think snow, rain, or ice, drought, calving time, or preconditioning. How do you feed hay? Many producers roll out hay, but others utilize hay feeders. Today, maybe even tomorrow, because I'm running out of time, we're going to be looking at the efficiency of hay feeders. Dave Lellerman and his research group have participated in several studies dealing with hay waste. So I think we're going to pick up right there at a stopping spot, see the different ways of feeding hay tomorrow, and best hay feeders out there. You guys have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.